is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And we're here. It's time for Stario Astrology with Anne. Let's bring her on and have her reintroduce herself, her show, and then what's up for today. Anne, welcome back.
Well, it's great to talk with you again, Nicole, and with anybody who calls in. And what I am is a professional astrologer. I've been an astrologer for over 30 years, and I do both Western astrology, which is what you find in sun signs in the newspaper, and I also do Vedic or Indian astrology, which is a little bit different, but they both work and they kind of stress different points, so I like to use them both. So that's who I am and what I do. My website is Anne, A-N-N-E, at Stariel, Stariel.com. So you can contact me there, and it's pretty easy to do most of the time. And I've been hearing from a number of you, so that's wonderful. Michelle asked me, excuse me, Nicole, you asked me what my theme was for today. And I've got two things. One is I do want to invite people to call in, and we can talk about your own charts. And I think, depending on when we get our first caller, we could do three today. But what I want to introduce with is the idea of astrological remedies. And it's something I learned early in my studies of astrology because I was dealing with depression, and I started looking into astrological remedies because I was barely learning Indian astrology, but I kept running across this idea of remedies. And I did some researching, and it was way out of my budget range. So I let it go for a while, and then I came back. And when I found a place where I could do remedies for depression and did it, I noticed that my depression disappeared like in the blink of an eye on one day. It was at a time when I'd done some really, really serious business conferences, and I knew that on the way home I would be crashing. And on my way home, I started to crash, and I couldn't. It shot me to pieces. I tried to do it again, and I couldn't do it again. And then I realized the ceremonies I had, quote, ordered must have been done just then. And I didn't have any ability to fall into a depression for 3 months. And after that, I could fall a little bit, but my habits had changed. And so I was beginning to develop my own, a higher floor, if we can put it that way, because if the deep depression floor is way deep down low, my new floor was above floor level. And so I decided I needed to learn more about that, and I studied, and actually I wrote a book about this about 20 years ago, but I didn't like it, and I put it aside, and I rewrote it, and it's called Vedic Secrets to Happiness. It seems to me like each of the planetary energy systems is like an energy sphere. And the planets represent 8, 9, 10 of the most prominent energy spheres we encounter in life. And it seems to me like sometimes we have like a flat tire in our energy beach ball, which is a mixed metaphor if I've ever heard of one. But anyway, you know what I mean. And that energy sphere isn't working well for us. And we can do things to actually pump up that flat tire, make that energy field work well. So those things are as simple as lighting a certain color candle on a certain day of a week, or eating certain foods or not eating certain foods on certain days of the week. A lot of people know about gemstone remedies for Indian astrology, and they can be pretty effective, but they also have, well, my teachers say gemstones will increase the planet's strength for good and for ill. And my favorite teacher's story was he had a man walk into his office wearing a great big yellow sapphire. And he noticed that and he said, oh, well, that's a beautiful stone you're wearing. And he was wearing it on his index finger because that's where you're supposed to wear yellow. And it's for Jupiter, which is about optimism and abundance. And he said, oh, yes, my astrologer in the past told me to wear it for my business because my chart said this planet needed some support, and I got the stone and I started wearing it, and my business just went through the roof. It's been great. I've worn it for 10 years now. And so he said, but I've got another problem. My wife is losing her sight. Her vision is failing. And the astrologer looked at his chart, and he looked at that stone, and he said, that yellow sapphire is causing your wife to go blind. And he said, but it's good for my business. And he said, again, this is a stone can increase the strength of the planet for good or for ill. So that's why you have to be careful about stones. But I kind of like gemstones. I just kind of like them. So I wear them. And a friend of a friend had come over. We were all sitting around talking. And she said, well, what do you know about gemstones? And I looked at the rings on my hand. And I was wearing a ring that a stone that a lot of people can't wear safely. But I have an ascendant ruled by Saturn, and Saturn is a good stone for me. But I was also having an awful lot of asthma. And I looked at my stone again, and I remembered that my Saturn is right next to Mercury, which rules the lungs in my chart. And so if Saturn is strong, it may be suppressing lungs. So that very day, I took off my Saturn rings and I put the Mercury stone on my little finger. And the asthma seemed to get a little better. And then I started getting information that I had been looking for forever. Two family members had found an asthma drug that worked for them. And I'm not going to go into the drugs because that's medical stuff. And your doctor needs to talk about that. But I finally found it at a reasonable price, and oh my God, you know, it really made a difference. So this is the kind of thing remedies can do. So I hear some noise in the background. It's okay.
No, there's no there's no noise on this background, Anne.
Okay, well, there's, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, do you have company? And I said, no. Well, somebody else is talking on this line. I said, well, it's interesting because I don't hear them. But, you know, modern technology has its secrets. So the idea of working on remedies is really important. And, in fact, you can get a questionnaire that helps you identify which remedies you need to use on my website. But you need to get the book to figure out the Amazon.com book, not my website book, to figure out all the remedies to do, but you can figure out what remedies you need just by filling out that questionnaire. So that's kind of my remedy story. I mean, I could tell you the remedies for a whole bunch of different planets, but that's a very boring, linear discussion.
And can you tell us?
You're not going to. Yeah.
Well, share with us what you did to remove the depression.
What I did for that was I contacted Amaji, who is an Indian saint, and she does planetary remedies. And if you look online for Amaji, you'll find her. And her remedy cost, I don't think it's gone up much, if any, but it was $35 at the time for each planet. And I looked at my chart and I identified which planets were contributing to depression. And there were several planets. So I ordered ceremonies to be done to improve the energy of these planets. And when you improve the energy with ceremonies or with charity or with rituals, you're improving your own body vibe. You're improving yourself, your karma, your soul. When you use a gemstone, if you take it off, the energy is gone. So it's like if you want to carry good energy with you into your next life, do the remedies that are charity or religious ceremonies or, you know, various things of that. Don't wear stones. They won't help you in another lifetime. They're only good while they're on your finger. But I had those ceremonies done, and I didn't know when they would be performed. And it was about 3 or 4 weeks after I sent the request in that this nap, release from depression, happened. It was quite remarkable. I've had clients with amazing stories. One client said that she really believed that the remedy that I gave her, which was a moon remedy, and one of the things you can do for that remedy is actually pray to Mother Mary. And so she was close to a Catholic church, and she would go there and light candles for Mary every single day. Monday is a moon day, so she was big on doing it on Monday, and she was having serious health problems. And she said she really swears that it saved her life. I'm not so sure of that, but I'm not the one who's having the experience. She is.
They do for your ceremony? I haven't heard about this before.
Well, they're called yagyas or pujas. And a yagya is just a bigger puja. And a puja is a ceremony where they pray to one of the, it's a Hindu system, and I really believe that the Hindu system, in some ways it's a religion, but in some ways it's literally a spiritual technology. And what they do is they identify a certain energy pattern that's associated with one of their deities. And in my book I talk about a Jupiter remedy can be a preacher, it can be, I went through a lot of different cultures to think of a similar energy to the Jupiter energy, because you don't have to do the Ganesha or Ganapati. You don't have to do the Indian gods. But if you're having an Indian ceremony, that's what's happening. But we're talking about an energy principle, and they have fires, and they offer certain things to the fire that are associated with that energy principle, and they pray to that energy. And I've attended them, but I can't tell you exactly what they say because it's in Sanskrit. I know a lot of mantras, and they're certainly doing a lot of mantras, but the ones I've attended were not doing mantras that I know, so I couldn't tell you. But does that answer your question? It's a strange thing. My brother,
I think it deserves more of a deep dive, because this is a huge topic, obviously. I've literally never had this discussion on News for the Soul in our 26 years that we've been here. So what is the connection with the planets and the processes?
Well, you can diagnose what process you need, which planet needs support, by looking at the Indian chart. I had a friend who was having a lot of difficulties with money, and I had him take the questionnaire, and he said, oh, well, the sun's what I need help with. And I thought, wow, you know, he's a very outgoing person. He's definitely a leader. Why is it the sun? Then I looked at his chart, and the ruler of his money house was living in the house of bankruptcy in his chart. Now, the houses of the chart tell you what area of life a planet is living in. And so the planet of money in his chart was in the house of bankruptcy. So I thought, wow, that does make a difference. And so I actually gave him mantras, and we did a quick, I don't think we did a stone at all. I don't like to recommend stones because I'll take the risk of something going wrong, but I don't want to do that to somebody else.
So that's
anyway,
a whole other. Finish that one, then I got another question. Okay.
Well, I was done. I was done.
Okay. So the stones. I've never heard of stones doing harm before, so that's a huge conversation that I think we need to have now.
Okay. Well, the reason stones do harm is because they are a physical addition to your body. They're not changing your heart. They're not changing your soul. They're not changing your karmic patterns. They're changing your vibes in a temporary way because they're attached to the body. So they're not permanent. But the other thing that I don't have a reason for, I just have the knowledge of and the experience of myself and other people, is that the planets, that the stones can increase, they definitely increase the power of the planet. So most people want to increase, you know, love and money, so they wear diamonds. But if you wear diamonds on the third finger of your hand, that's a sun finger, and the sun will burn up the energy of the diamond. So you need to wear the diamond on the second finger of your hand. So anyway, that's just kind of like what people do and how people do it. But for some people, a diamond isn't a good stone. And for my sister, in fact, it is not a good stone. And when we were talking about this, she likes yellow stones. And at that time, yellow stones made my arm ache. I just could not wear yellow stones. But when I put a diamond on her second finger, she said, oh, get it off, it hurts. But then when we put it back on her third finger, where she wears her engagement ring, it didn't hurt anymore because the energy of the diamond was being burned out by the sun. And the original question was, why do stones cause good? Because stones are not associated with your growth. They're associated with an energy. And that every planet has good and bad aspects, and the stone will increase both. That's the why of it. I've also learned that lab-created stones tend to increase the bad parts of that stone. So a friend of mine, another Indian astrologer, was wearing a beautiful lab-created emerald, and he said from the day he put that on, he had nightmares every night. So he took it off and he got a real emerald. You can make substitutions, and you know the Russian emerald is also called a chrome diopside, and it's much, much, much cheaper than an emerald. You can make substitutions, but you can't use an artificial stone. So it's the color that's important. Does that kind of answer your question?
It gives me a whole bunch more. So when you said the story about the lady was going blind from the yellow stone or something. Tell us about that and how that all works.
Well, I don't know the end of that story because it was told by my teacher to a group of people. But it was his knowledge that recognized that the Jupiter was probably in his seventh house, which is the house of your marriage partner, and was probably not a strong Jupiter. He didn't show the chart. And so having a weak Jupiter in the house of your marriage weakens something about your marriage partner or your marriage. And then you have to think about what does that Jupiter relate to? So if it related to, well, if it related to the sun or the sun and moon are planets that are in charge of your eyes, right and left eye. So I'm just guessing what might have been the pattern in the chart. I don't know the outcome. But I don't know the outcome. That's what I'm going to say.
It's just so bizarre because, okay, people listening now are on the edge of their seat going, well, I love crystals. I have crystals everywhere. How do I know what's good for me and what's not?
Crystals in your house are fine. They are not, they're affecting your energy. I can give you some general statements like if you want more abundance, or love in your life, clear quartz crystals are good for that. And yellow crystals are good for that. Blue crystals and turquoise crystals and purple crystals. In Western astrology, we associate purple with Jupiter, but in Indian astrology, it's associated with Saturn. So I'm cautious with purple, but I would not warn against it. The two things, though, to be very careful about is natural blue crystals and natural red crystals or stones, which could be a coral or a chrysoprase. I have stories from expert Vedic jewelry makers that on days that they are making stones for Mars, which is about anger or accidents or conflicts, but it's also about energy, having energy, using your energy correctly. So you can see it has a good and a bad side. But they say that inevitably when they're making Mars jewelry, which is the coral or chrysoprase color, the deep orange color, they'll trip over something and knock it all over. They'll hammer their hand with a hammer instead of a ring. They just have accidents all day long. So I would be cautious about having a lot of that color stone in your environment.
So whether you're wearing them or not?
I'd be very cautious about wearing them. It doesn't mean you can't wear them because you can always take them off. I mean, if you don't like the way your life is going with the stone on, take it off. And I would say to anybody who just happens to like sapphire or they're a September birthday and they wear sapphires, if your life isn't going well, take that ring off for a while. See if things improve. But in your environment, it's not going to be a big deal. In fact, some of the remedies are about each day of the week, you can put a candle on your altar, and the altar can be nothing but the candle. And you can put stones of the correct color for that planet, because each day of the week is one of the planets. And so you can put the stones around the colored candle and light that candle on that day, and that will help balance the energy because you're using the stone, in that case, as an offering. Which makes no sense logically, but it works.
Just a whole other area I've never even heard of. Let's pause there and take a call I'm assuming an astrology reading. So let's go to All Ones. You're live with Anne. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
My name is Pamela. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hello, Pamela.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
You're on with Anne.
Okay, can you do a reading, please?
I can. I need your birth date.
Okay, January 27th, 1968.
And I need the time of day you were born?
12:02 a.m.
So you're barely January 27th, okay. And what city and state were you born in?
Jersey City, New Jersey.
Okay, let's look at your chart. Where's your Venus? Your sun is in Aquarius. I mean, you probably know half of this already. Your sun is in Aquarius. Your moon is in Capricorn, right next to Venus. And your ascendant is Libra. And those are the first things most astrologers look at. One of the things that I look at is when a planet is I'm going to use the word ruling. That's an astrological term. It means when you, I'm going to try to explain to everybody how the sky works in astrology. The sky is divided into 12 parts. And when you do a chart, we start the chart at the time of your birth. So the first house is exactly the time you were born. And the first house is how you present yourself to the world, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm looking at your sun, which is in the fourth house, which is the house that is representing your home and your family. And this sun is the ruler, the planet that rules the 10th house, which is usually the house of career. So the first thing I would say about you is you work from home. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. And now your sun and moon are ruled by Saturn. And Saturn lives in your sixth house, and it's in Aries. Sixth house is the house of daily work. It's also the house of health. And there are a bunch of other things, servants, pets, rituals, blah, 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 blah. So I look at this Saturn, and this tells me you are a hard worker. It also tells me, because of the sign it's in, that you tend to be impetuous about some things and think you have to get things done immediately when you get them started. Is that fair?
That's 100% true. Oh, my goodness.
You might want to do some Saturn remedies, and that is not about wearing a Saturn stone. And a Saturn remedy would be getting a dark blue candle. You can find them in glass at the grocery store for about $1, and they'll last you forever because you're using it for only like an hour a day once a week.
Okay.
But put that on a little stand or something that you can call your altar, and put pictures of old people, of fences, because what we're looking at with Saturn is limits, and we need to limit your over-impetuosity to get everything done right now, because that's going to cause you health problems.
Okay.
And you may have either bone or dental problems. This is not a terribly difficult Saturn, but it is ruling both your sun and your moon. So making it stronger and more peaceful will improve your health. And the health problems you would tend to have would be bones, skin, or teeth problems. So I don't know if you have it.
I don't have that yet.
That's good. Well, anyway, you want to smooth out that Saturn because it's going to cause you a lot of stress.
Okay.
Now, you've got an interesting thing. It's a generational thing. Well, generational. For several years, people have this pattern. And you've got Uranus, which is a pattern of sudden changes, of total personal independence, and Pluto, the planet of symbolic death and rebirth, right together. And in the sky right now, Pluto is exciting those planets. It's making that energy really big. And my guess is that you have been experiencing something in group stuff, like not best friend stuff, but like an HOA or any kind of club or organization where there are people that you know that you've been very responsible, very creative in. And you're experiencing problems right now. I'm putting together a lot of symbols and trying to make a story out of them. So let me check if I'm going in the right direction.
Okay.
So are you having a problem with groups that you've been involved with at this point now?
No, I'm just doing a lot of community service, working at pantries and helping the less fortunate. No.
Okay. That's very good. Because that work you are doing is charity, and it's going to be, it's actually naturally alleviating the problems that you would be seeing there.
Oh, okay.
If you were to run into problems, it would likely be, let's say you get some distribution system set up that seems really, really, really effective and useful and easy for everybody to use, And you get a new leader in this group who says, yeah, we don't want to do that anymore. And they suggest a system that you know personally will not work.
Okay.
That's the kind of thing that you're likely to run into. The planets are telling you, because this is what Pluto does. Pluto says, you guys on this, listening to me over time, are going to hear me say this over and over and over. The only difference between a rut and a grave is how deep do you dig it? And Pluto is out there watching to make sure you don't dig that rut so deep that you can't see over the edges and it turns into a grave. And Pluto doesn't have a lot of diplomacy. It just messes up your life in that one area. It's like, but I've been doing this and this is who I am and it's really important to me. And Pluto says, no, it's not good for you. Stop. And it just starts throwing rocks at you and doing awful stuff. Mm-hmm. When that stuff happens and it's Pluto related, you will feel like your blood is on fire, you're so angry, or you'll feel like your blood is freezing because you realize you can't do anything about it. That's how you know it's a Pluto problem. And once you know it's a Pluto problem, once you know it's a Pluto problem, then you let it happen because your soul is telling you you need to get out of the situation, and if the person running it is screwing it up, you let go of your identity with what you created and do something else. So I'm going to stick that in the back of your mind because it may yet come up.
Okay.
The type of work that you've been doing, because it is so charity-oriented, is unlikely to take you into the deep underworld of Pluto problems. But it's strong in your chart right now, and so you need to be aware that it's something to pay attention to. I'm going to look at some more.
Okay.
Now, when I'm going to enter all of this into my Indian chart system, and if you would, I'm going to write your name down again. Pamela, whoops. And your birthday was January what?
27th, 1968.
12:02 a.m. If the people used to have to figure this all out by hand, but now we don't have to. But you got to wait for me to type.
Okay.
So now I'm getting New Jersey. Okay. One chart. I want it. I'm pressing the OK button and it's not OKing. I'm going to do it again. My apologies.
That's fine, thank you.
So while I'm doing this, do you want to tell me what you are wanting to find out when we have this conversation?
What do I want to find out? Am I really on the right path? Because I like to talk so much, but I really feel that I'm motivated to empower and to inspire people. So it's interesting to me because strangers come to me all the time and they tell me very personal things, you know, and I can talk to people for hours and hours and hours, and it just seems like it's only a matter of seconds. But I do, I just enjoy helping people. That is just really what makes me happy.
Well, what I'm going to be doing is looking at your Western chart because I tried it a second time, and the computer, I'd have to reboot, and that takes too long. So what I'm seeing from your Western chart is that you asking me that question at this time, the sun, which goes around 360 degrees, every year, go through all of those degrees, right now is almost exactly opposite that Saturn in your house of work. The sun is in a spiritual house. And what it's telling me is, and let's see, your third house is Jupiter, and that's talking. And there is your moon and Venus together. And your south node is in the spiritual house. So my answer to your question is the talking you are doing, even if you think you're babbling, is important and is part of your work here. We're also looking at the sun in the sky making a perfect trine, which is the nicest, most convenient aspect to the sun in your chart. And so this is the spirit talking to your ego. And Pamela, with Libra rising, you are such a sweet person. I mean, and you've got Libra on the south node too. South node is who you were in your early life, in your past lives. You're the kind of person who thinks it's a conflict if somebody says, the sky is what color the sky never is.
Purple. I don't know.
Purple. Well, sometimes the sky is purple, but we'll say they'll look at a perfectly blue sky and say, boy, I've never seen such a purple sky. And you'll think it's rude to tell them it's blue. That's who you are.
That's true.
It's like,
I don't want to make waves.
You don't want to make waves even if you have to agree with something stupid to keep from making waves. And so I'm going to tell you from this point of view of your being so Libra-oriented, and because the planet of assertion is right on that spot that represents who you've always been, so we're asking you to be a little assertive now, is it something really black and white? It's not just an opinion. If the sky is green and somebody says, wow, look how purple it is out there, I want you to say, well, it looks green to me.
Okay. Okay.
So just the obvious things. The other thing I noticed with this much Libra energy is if somebody says, well, can I do this for you? Can I drive you down to the store? I'm going that way. Oh, no, no, it's okay. And you've got a broken leg. It's like, say yes to the people who want to help you.
Right.
You
I'm working
need to say
on
yes.
trying to receive more as opposed to always giving. So that's true.
Yes.
I'm trying to work on that.
You've got good energy trying to help you, and what it's really doing is it's allowing you to see how not standing up for yourself and how not being willing to receive has hurt you. That's kind of the lesson you're going to be receiving over the next several about the next month and a half.
Okay.
So that'll help you learn. And I want you to know that when you do assert yourself, you are magnifying your ability to help people.
Okay.
We've got a lot of little pieces in this chart that go together quite beautifully.
Nice.
And, yeah. And we've got two really strong spiritual things. One is Uranus in the sky, which is shakes things up, is right opposite your Neptune. So right now and for the next couple of months, your psychic abilities are going to be over the top. You'll know a person, and not only will you feel that they need something, you will know exactly what they need.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Have you already been seeing that?
Yes and no, because I've been working on dual meditations on my claircognizance, clairvoyance, clairaudience.
Okay.
So I've been trying to heighten all of those, and then I do the, like I use my body sometimes as a pendulum to do like yes and no questions and stuff like that.
Yes.
So like when I see people sometimes, I'll try to say like a quick prayer as I'm walking past them, which is, you know, while we're engaged in conversation. So I've been trying to work on a lot of that because my mother would say to me all the time that I could tell her anything and it would happen just before it happened. But, you know, she was a little nervous with it. So, you know, growing up, they didn't want me to do that. so they dismissed it. But it's coming
yeah.
back, but it's like I'm just trying to be really cognizant of it when it's happening because I get a lot of thoughts. And then
not only do we have that Uranus giving you the details of what they need, but we've also got Neptune in the sky in a powerful position supporting your Neptune. And Neptune is the mood, the feeling. You just know kind of the general thing this person needs, but the Uranus is allowing you to see exactly what they need. So this is a very strong ability, and it's not something made up, and it's something really, in my opinion, I mean, astrology doesn't give me the right to every answer, but in my opinion, it's a gift of God and something that will help you help others.
Oh, nice. That's great. That's my goal, you know, to help others.
You're doing a good job. You're on the right path.
Thank you. That's good to know.
Oh. Is there anything else?
No, I think that's it right now. This is
okay.
A lot. Thank you.
Sure. Well, we can go back to Nicole and either talk some more, or if somebody else is wanting a bit of a reading, we can look at that.
Okay.
We have about 12 minutes to the top, and not really enough time to do any more callers. So if you see anything else worth mentioning in the chart before we let Pamela go, we've got that golden opportunity.
Well, there are things right now that are happening. I mean, we can go in the chart, we can go broad scale or we can go small scale. And a smaller scale thing that is a short term is that right now, yesterday, today, tomorrow, and the next day, you are a powerful speaker and you can speak to groups. So if there's anything that comes to your awareness, this is the time to use it because you will be recognized as a powerful speaker.
Okay.
It also means if you're not doing powerful speaking, you're thinking powerful thoughts. This is about deep thinking and deep inner awareness. So it's good for deep prayer work. It's good for, and it's good for the groups you work in. I mean, your prayers on behalf of the groups and the people they serve are particularly powerful at this point because they're generated by the thoughts of, well, I don't know whether to use the word transformation or the word redemption. Those both words apply. So they can help transform people. We also see that Neptune in the sky, the psychic thing, is right on a planet. Well, it's actually a trapped comet, but it's part of our lexicon anyway. Chiron. And Chiron has to do with things that have been very painful for you. It could have been in your early life creative activities. It could have been it could have even been an early association with death. But it's something that happened. That ring a bell?
Well, I was a preemie, and they didn't think I was going to survive, so they came in and they read me my last rites, but I made it through.
There's that Chiron. It's powerful, and right now Neptune, the psychic planet, is right on Chiron. This is bringing back to you the glimpse of the other side you had when you were a tiny infant.
Okay.
Because people who have very preemie experiences and who have strong Chiron positions, part of their soul is still aware of the other side. And this is a time for you to feel that, to thank. You're at the point in life now where you're beginning to see how that early experience charged you, what it gave you, the gifts that it brought to you that you can use at this point in your life. So it's a powerful Chiron, Pluto, Neptune pattern that you've got going on right now. It's going to be going on for about another year. So, okay. And it's gone on already for probably 5 or 6 months. So
okay.
it's a good little period for putting you in touch with the energies of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You also may very well be able to sense messages from people who have already departed.
Oh, okay. I heard, I received one, I don't know, about 6-7 months ago.
Uh-huh.
Someone very close to me had passed away, and I was just, you know, sitting, and then I clearly heard them saying to me that they knew I loved them and that I did the best that I could do for them. But I froze, like I didn't know, like, what to say. I didn't say anything. I just sat there. I was just sitting there because I was like, did I just hear that?
Yeah, you did. and the way you can initiate communication, and I would
mm-hmm.
say with that person, because she obviously loved you enough to reach, I mean, it's a big effort. She's probably an advanced soul because it takes a big effort and a lot of spiritual knowledge to contact a person who isn't particularly looking for contact. But the way you can connect with people who have passed, particularly when it's somebody like your friend, is simply through love. If you feel the love you have for them and send it to them and feel the love you have for you, it's likely to come with a message. And it's not likely to be word messages, although right now it could be.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a feeling. I use the words thought form. It's like when you look at somebody's eyes when you're at a party and in your partner's eyes and it's like, okay, we both know it's time to go.
Right.
That wasn't words, but it was definitely communication.
Right, okay. Is that
so
like
it's that kind of, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
okay.
So, yeah, that's the way to do that.
Nice, I can try. I can do that. That's easy. And, you know, they said to my mother that, they said, oh, well, she's not going to be able to speak, see, hear, or walk, and I do all the above perfectly. So
yeah.
I've never had a problem with anything.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about your birth time is it's the very last degree of Libra.
Okay.
So this is an ending and a beginning. If you were born, let's see, 3 minutes later,
mm-hmm.
you would be Scorpio rising. And that is about the deep things. And it's far more private, and it's not quite as sweet and agreeable and not as hard to make up your mind as a Libra rising.
Okay.
You know, it's like all the alternatives look good. There's something good or bad about each of them. How do I make a decision? But it doesn't surprise me with this particular degree rising that there was difficulty at your birth. And right now in the sky, Pluto is squaring that degree. This is a huge period of transformation for you. You are standing on the precipice of mammoth changes. They're powerful changes. They're spiritual changes. And they don't come with trauma.
Oh, good.
But you did your work there.
Oh, good, right. Yeah. Okay.
So these powerful changes are, it's maybe not easy because usually a Pluto change is letting go of something you've been very comfortable with. But
mm-hmm.
I don't see that it's a traumatic thing. It's just a recognizing that it's time for something different.
I'm working on accepting divine timing and not being ego-driven. So that's what I've been trying to do. And just knowing everything happens.
Give yourself some patience because that Saturn in your sixth house and the sign of Aries and the sign of impatience means that you are so disciplined about driving yourself that you can drop all the tools on your feet.
Right.
You're driving yourself so hard you can hurt yourself. So
Right. Be
gentle with yourself, just please.
Okay.
I'm looking at your Jupiter. is trying your moon in Venus. Oh, my gracious, you're a sweet woman.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I try.
Oh, please be good to yourself. Please be good to yourself.
I will, thank you.
If you're good to yourself, the whole world will benefit.
Okay. All right. I'm working on it.
You're working on it.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's a planet that I think could use some support in your chart. I'm trying to translate it from the Western to the Indian without having the Indian chart in front of my eyes.
Okay.
I'm going to try opening it again. Maybe just closing it and opening it will make it work. No. Pamela, 127, 1968,
1202 a.m.,
New Jersey. Ah, we got it.
Oh, okay.
We've got info to work with. You entered in the Indian system. Each period of your life is under the governorship, so to speak, of one of the planets in your chart. Mm-hmm. And in 2012, at the end of May, you entered a Rahu period. And Rahu in your chart is in your sixth house. This, goodness girl, Rahu is unsettled. Your work life is unsettled. Your health situations could be unsettled. Your rituals can be unsettled. And Rahu often makes you feel like there isn't enough of something. So there isn't enough work, like I'm not doing enough work, or there's not enough work coming to me, or that I don't have enough time because the sixth house is about time. It's about the sense of lacking something. And what I've got to tell you, because this is going to last until 2030.
Oh, okay.
This is not a true thing. It's a feeling. Mm-hmm. And what I would like you to do for a ritual is on Saturday, light a blue candle. We talked about this before, and it shows up in this chart too. Light a blue candle and put pictures of old people, of fences, rocks. Mm-hmm. Put dark colored stones, blue stones, black stones around it.
Okay.
Pictures of the old people can be old family members.
Okay.
But those are things that Saturn appreciates, and so you're giving it to this energy saying, you are worth it. Your discipline is worth it, and you don't have to make more of it because I'm giving you that energy. So, as we were saying earlier with Nicole, these remedy systems make no logical sense in our Western world, but they work. And I think that'll be of great help to you. You should do it at least 9 Saturdays in a row.
Oh, okay,
and
that's easy.
Yeah, and preferably do it for as many weeks as your age plus one.
Oh, okay.
And just, now the other thing you can do, you don't have to do the same thing every Saturday, you can give dark-colored food to homeless people.
Oh.
Blue tortilla chips or coffee or brownies or, you know, dark-colored food to homeless people.
I love doing that. Okay, I can do that.
Okay. That'll be a good thing for you. That'll be a very good thing for you. You've got a good chart. The chart of the great successes in your life show you, it has Jupiter in the first house, which is how you see the world. And the Indian teachers say that Jupiter in the first house overcomes 10,000 ills. So we've got some good we've got some good stuff there. We've got Jupiter aspecting the first house in the feel of your life. So that's a very good one.
Okay.
And it's aspecting your ruling planet. So you've got a very good Jupiter. Let me see what we're going to run out of time in a minute.
We are okay. Indeed. I'm jumping back in. I just let you go because it's so intriguing. I love this stuff. So you got the deluxe version today, Pamela. Keep in touch. Let us know how it goes. And Anne, I've added some time so that you can, we're going to go into overtime mode, but, you know, getting you to share your shameless self-promotion as we come to an end here.
Well, this has been great, Pamela, and thank you for calling. And yes, this is what I do for my work. This is what I've done for 30 years, and this is what I absolutely love doing. I love working with people. I love seeing the strengths in their charts. I love seeing where there are weaknesses, how they can be improved. Now, Pamela really didn't have a lot of weakness, but she overdoes a lot of things. But that's what I do, and you can contact me by looking at my website, www.stariel.com. You can actually order the Remedies book on Amazon, and this book has gotten fabulous reviews. One reviewer who top of the Vedic, the Indian astrology world, called it a stunningly brilliant book, so I'm going to brag a little on that. But it's written so that non-astrologers can figure this out. You don't have to be an astrologer to figure out what you need to do, how to do it. It's just all laid out. So I'm encouraging you to look for that book. And, of course, anytime you might want a reading, contact me. If you've got questions, contact me. There are contact things on the website, and I'll give you my email, which is ANNE@stariel.com, stariel.com. So,
and
we done it?
And Anne's all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. I didn't know Pluto was such a jerk. That was interesting news.
Well, but see, Pluto's really a great gift giver because he's saving you from the death of the rut that's too deep. He's just not very polite about it.
Yeah, he's not. That was funny. All right, so much to talk about. Today was great. We're getting Anne's schedule sorted out. She will be on a Friday, not the Thursday originally advertised. We've been going through a bunch of energy adjustments. We're almost there, so go to newsforthesoul.com to find Anne and find out when she's on next. And right now, And I pushed the wrong button. All right, let's get off the air while we still can. Next up, more news from the soul from the archives over the last 25 years. Back in 2 minutes with more.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.